where Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this washing of feet. Don't get nervous, we're not going to wash feet today. Chapter 13 and 14, 15, 16, and 17, those are five chapters I've really been spending a lot of time in lately over the last, month or so. But these are chapters, if you think about it, chapter 13 happened the night of the Last Supper. This is the last time that Jesus is actually going to be speaking to his disciples while he's still on the earth before the crucifixion. And you might think, wow, these are his last words. Wonder how important they're going to be. You know, so it's the night of the Last Supper, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I think of those chapters as John's Great Commission. You know, you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a Great Commission. I think of these chapters as the Lord's Great Commission with great detail given by John. So over the next few times I'll be sharing from the Word, I'm gonna go through these chapters and just start looking at what were the things that was on the heart of Jesus for his disciples as he's ready to leave. He's ready to go be with his Father. John 13, 1 through 4 talks about that. I'm going to go away now. And so let's begin in chapter 13, verse 5. And I'm going to open up in prayer. Father, open our hearts to your word today. I pray that the truths that are here would just be brought forward to all of us so that it becomes a life-changing concept. Help me to share, Lord, the things that you've opened me, my heart to understand. Let it be clear and inspiring to your people. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says in verse 5, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now. Now, when I read that statement right there, it makes me think that there's more to this foot washing than foot washing. I mean, it would be kind of silly for Jesus to say, you really don't know what I'm doing, when it was obvious he was washing feet. But there was something else that Jesus was after in this washing of the feet. And I know the obvious is he was setting an example of humility and, you know, being a servant, all those kinds of things. But I think even yet there's something even deeper that's here. And that's really what I want to share with you today. You know, what was it that Jesus was after when he was washing the feet of the disciples that night? And he said to Peter, what I'm doing, you don't understand right now. But afterward, you will understand. So there will become afterwards some knowledge or some understanding you will gain about what I'm trying to do here today. So Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And I was reading in one of a commentary, and they said this is the way this is structured in the Greek language. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but he said it's a very emphatic statement. It's basically saying, you will never wash my feet, not until eternity. Never. How many of you would be so bold as to tell Jesus, I don't want you washing my feet? I mean, Jesus is coming. It's obviously his will to wash the feet. And he comes over to Peter, towel wrapped around him, the basin of water, and he's coming down before Peter. This is the will of God. And Peter says, you're never going to wash my feet, Jesus. Wonder why? Wonder why he said that? I mean, the Bible doesn't really give us an answer. But here's a question I want you to think about. Do you ever balk at the will of God? And maybe it's like, I don't understand what he's doing. Or maybe it's you're embarrassed about it. Or maybe he's asking you to do something you don't want to do. In one sense, we're not really that different from Peter, are we? I mean, you see something that's clearly the will of God. I'm coming to wash your feet. And we say, no, not now or ever. And it's this heart that I believe that Jesus is trying to address with the washing of feet. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go on. But I just want you to evaluate your own heart. You know, how often is it or when the Lord comes and he's wanting to move you to something, to do something, to some obedience, to follow his will. And we push it away. Just like Peter. You will never wash my feet. And look what Jesus' answer was. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. That's a pretty heavy statement. If you study that word share, it just has to do with a portion. It's like there's an inheritance that's there for the people of God. And he's saying, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. And I looked up this in different translations. Let me read to you how other translations translate this part. It says, if I don't wash you, you can't share life with me. If I don't wash you, you can't be involved with me. If I don't wash you, you don't belong to me. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If I don't wash you, you are not one of my people. If I don't wash you, you can no longer be my disciple. So now Peter's like, okay, hands, head, everything. See, there's this thing in our hearts that we want to be followers of Jesus, just like Peter does. But when it comes down to individual desires in the heart of God, his will, we push back. But we understand that to not let him have his will in our life means we really don't have anything to do with him. If we understood that, maybe we would say, yes, Lord, every time he wants us to move forward in something. We would say, yes, Lord. We wouldn't be like Peter. You're not going to wash my feet, Lord, for whatever reason. So you see what I think the Lord's getting after here is he's getting after a heart of obedience. It's really what he's after. You don't know what I'm doing right now, Peter. It's not really about washing your feet. It's about the will of God in your life. And if you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. Verse 9, so Simon said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And then he said, you are clean, but not every one of you. And then go to the next verse on the slide up there. So you see, I just read this here, right? Yeah. You are clean, but not every one of you. Now look at the next verse. No, the next one. Yeah. Why did Jesus say that you're not all clean? See, because there was one there who was betraying him. They instead of, I mean, what's an opposite of betrayal? Maybe it's loyalty, maybe it's faithfulness, maybe it's allegiance, maybe it's commitment. But Jesus is talking here about this allegiance to him. He's kind of like saying, this is what I'm talking about when I mention this word clean here. Because he said, not all of you are clean, and he was speaking specifically of Judas, who had the heart of betrayal. So once again, you see this description of what's happening here. He's trying to show, look, there's some who are loyal to me, there's some who are not. Not all of you are clean. Not everybody's clean. Who were the clean ones? Those that were loyal. And that's why he was saying to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. There is this call to obedience that really is the center of being a Christian. Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And so there's this heart of surrender, this heart that says, yes, Lord. And I think it's what Jesus is really after here. He's ready to leave and depart, and he wants and needs people, followers, disciples who will follow him, who will obey what he wants, who will do what he wants, even if it does seem uncomfortable, even if it seems out of the ordinary, to do the will of Jesus. You know, there was a custom back then, I'm reading some commentaries about when people would go to a dinner, they would get a bath, they would wash everything, and then they walk over to the dinner, the place, the house, and because they wore sandals, their feet were dirty. And so that's another side of this, is there's just all you need to do, Peter, is wash your feet. Everything's clean because there has been a cleansing. And so you could also say, and I got the scripture in Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, what he calls here the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, there is a washing that takes place. What he calls here a washing of regeneration. Regeneration means to give birth again, regenerate, to give new life. And he describes it as a washing of regeneration. So you need to understand that when you gave your life to Jesus, when you surrendered to him, there was a washing of regeneration that took place. But there's still a need for the washing of our feet. Now, we had this cleansing at our salvation, but how many here have need to have their feet washed from time to time? And what is it? What is it about this? It is that as we go through life, we are learning to yield to Jesus Christ. We are learning to walk in obedience to him. And so let's say today I have an argument with my wife and I'm not willing to forgive her. You know what? I need my feet washed. I need Jesus to come to me and say, Kirk, I'm going to wash your feet right now. And I'm going to say either, yes, Lord, wash my feet. Or I'm going to say, you'll never wash my feet. He's bringing to me things that need to be done as I'm walking through life. In John 13, 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and he resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Now Jesus is going to open up the revelation here. Do you understand what I've done to you? And he said this, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. See, what this is all about is Jesus being the teacher and the Lord. He is the teacher and the Lord. You call me that, and that's what I am. And Jesus wants to be the teacher and the Lord in our life. I let him wash my feet because I want him to be the teacher and Lord. When I'm not forgiving my wife and the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, hey, You're not dealing with your wife properly. I want to say, Lord, wash my feet. Wash my feet. I want to yield to you as the teacher. I want to yield to you as the Lord. I don't want to say, you'll never wash my feet. I don't want to push him back. I don't want to push him away. And this is what Jesus is after in the heart of these men. This idea that you call me teacher and Lord, but let me be the teacher and Lord. Let my will reign in your life. That's why Judas was not clean. He was rejecting Jesus as teacher and Lord. And this is why he told Peter, if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me. He is rightfully the teacher and the Lord of all. But you know what? You're the only person that decides if he's that in your life. You know, are you willing to let Jesus wash your feet? And whatever that even looks like is probably different for every one of us. Jesus comes and he says, I want to wash your feet today, Ted. And you say, yes, Lord. He is the teacher and he is the Lord. And as we are given like this, the Great Commission, as he's preparing these men now to take his mission throughout the world, he needs people who are submitted to his lordship. Amen? But another thing he said on there, look at verse 14 again. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, as I look at that, I'm thinking, well, maybe Jesus wants to use us to help others submit to him as teacher and Lord. Isn't that what the Great Commission is all about? Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And so when you sit down with another person and you are encouraging them and you are bringing the Word of God to bear in their life, you're saying, let me wash your feet. Let me wash your feet. Jesus did it for me, let me do it for you. Every one of us, God is calling us, not that we're not like the Bible answer man for everybody's life, trying to straighten everybody out. It's not that at all. But yet the Lord brings us into relationship with people where we can encourage and help them grow and be men and women of God. We can give good godly counsel. We can pray for them. We can give them scripture. We can exhort them. We can teach them from the Word of God and make disciples. And so, how many of you know that's a lot more exciting than actually physically washing someone's feet? I mean, I don't mind washing someone's feet, but to me, there's an eternal purpose here, more than just washing a feet. I mean, I know sometimes churches have foot washings, and I'm not putting that down at all. But I mean, I think there's something deeper here that Jesus is after. What I'm doing, you don't understand it, but you will later. And I think it is to bring this idea that Jesus is my teacher, Jesus is my Lord, to bring that to bear into our life, and then to encourage us to bring it into the lives of others. So he said, if I have washed your feet, I am your Lord and teacher, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done to you. And then he says, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Okay, in this, when he says a servant is not greater than his master, who's the servant here? We are. And who's the master? Jesus. How many here think you're greater than Jesus? I see that hand. No, I'm kidding. Nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. So who's the messenger? And who's the one who's sending? Jesus. This is why I feel like this is the Great Commission in John. He's saying, look what I've done in your life. I want you to go do this in the lives of others. You are the servant and you are the messenger. And I'm sending you. I'm the master. I'm the Lord. I'm the teacher. And just as I've done for you, go do for others. And then Jesus said these words, if you know these things, blessed are you if what? If, see, there's nothing, no, there's no great blessing in knowing about this. The blessing is in actually doing it. And there again, it's this idea of an obedient heart. And then I want to read one last verse. It's in verse 20, which I believe is probably the most amazing scripture in this portion. Well, they're all amazing. I take that back. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Think about this for a minute. Jesus talked about above there when he said, the messenger, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And then Jesus is saying here, whoever receives the one I send receives me. When you go, sent by Jesus, and somebody receives you, he says they're receiving Jesus. I mean, think about that for a minute. Just like Jesus was sent by his Father, and he said, if they receive me, they receive the Father. And now Jesus is sending us, and he's saying, if they receive you, they receive me. That's why when we go out to encourage and share the gospel or whatever with people, if they're not receiving you, it's not you they're rejecting. Whoever receives the one I send receives me. Can you see that as a great responsibility as well as a great privilege? That you can actually, I don't know, help people receive Jesus. That's why I think, I mean, our the way we carry ourselves, and you know, we're not out there like Bible thumpers trying to condemn it. We're here to bring life to people. Because the one who receives you receives me, he said. So again, he's leaving. I'm leaving you here. I'm sending you out. You're my messenger. And I want you to know, whoever receives you receives me. What a great blessing that is. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. So I'm finished with this message today. I would like you to, I think we're going to have musicians come up and play a song here at the end, but I would like you to do a couple things to think about as we close. And we're just going to leave a few minutes here this morning for people to pray. You can either pray there in your seat. We can come up here and pray. We're going to sing a song or play some music, but you can come up here and pray at the altar if you want, or pray with somebody there in the chair. But I would like you to think of two things. One is, will you allow Jesus to wash your feet? Ask him today, Lord, if you were going to wash my feet, what is it that you're after in my life? What is the thing that you want to teach me, or what is the area of my life where you are not the Lord? I don't think the Lord would hide that from us. You know what I mean? He's gonna point it out. So as we close up with this time of prayer, talk to the Lord and ask him. Say, Lord, I'm here to have my feet washed. What do you got to say to me? We're not like Peter, who says, you'll never wash my feet. We're responding to whatever it is, whatever it is. If it might be embarrassing, it might be painful, it might be pride that keeps us back, but we're saying, Lord, come and wash my feet. And then the second thing I'd like you to think about is, will you be a servant and a messenger? Because that's the other thing that Jesus is after here. He's not just after washing their feet. He's saying, listen, what I've done to you, I want you to do to others. You know, we experience this relationship with Jesus as our Lord and as our teacher, and it brings about such beautiful change in our life. I mean, if you look at your life over the years you've known Jesus, it's beautiful what he's done. He's taken beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I mean, yeah, you have bad days. Sure, you have bad days. But Jesus has done a beautiful work in us. And he's saying to us, go do that to others, just as I've done to you. And we're really teaching people, when we go share the gospel, to receive Jesus as their teacher and as their Lord. That's really what we're after. And so in that sense, we're washing feet all the time. We're sitting another person down and we're saying, hey, can I wash your feet? Jesus washed. We're not using those terms, but you understand what we're after. We're trying to help people, as well as ourselves, continually yield to the Lordship of Jesus and to see him as the great teacher in our life. So think about those two things. We'll just take a few minutes to sing a song and pray. Open your heart to the Lord. And you know, don't leave today without the Lord telling you something. Maybe it's something about washing your own feet. Maybe it's another person he wants you to speak to. But make a commitment today to say, yes, Lord.